Welcome to the Hope City Podcast. My name is David, and I'm one of the pastors here on staff. We're currently in a series on how to read your Bible. It's a series aimed at helping you understand the Bible. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about types of literature, part two. Our guest today to help us break this down is Becca. Becca, before we begin, why don't you introduce yourself and what you do here at Hope City Church?
Okay. I am Becca, and I'm part of the Connections team. So I work with the ushers and the hosts and basically anyone who's involved with welcoming people, making sure the church is a friendly place. So that's my job here.
Well, it's good. It's needed. Everyone needs to feel welcome,
you know? Yeah. We love having people here and getting to know them and welcoming them into our church family.
So you've been here for a couple of years now?
Yeah, I've been on staff for almost 3 years.
Okay. Yeah, it's flying by.
Yeah, it
is. And you're originally from BC?
Yeah.
Where in BC?
I grew up in Langley, and then after Bible college, I moved to Abbotsford and got married, and my husband's from Abbotsford, so.
And now you're in Edmonton.
And now we're in Edmonton.
The coldest place
yes.
on earth. Sometimes.
But at least it's sunny.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like days and days of gray.
Yeah, and lots of rain.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. All right, we got to get into it.
Okay.
All right. The Bible is a fascinating book for anyone who's read it. It's not just a book. It's actually a collection of different books put together. You got the Old Testament, you got the New Testament. Mm-hmm. And in our last podcast, Ruben was talking about types of literature in the Old Testament. Now we're going to be going through types of literature in the New Testament. And what I love about the types of literature in the New Testament or even the genres is that a lot of them are pretty similar to what you would find in the Old Testament. So for someone who is going through the New Testament for the first time, what kind of genres should we be expecting if we decide to start in the first book of the New Testament, which would be Matthew?
Mm-hmm. The first four books of the New Testament are actually a great place to start if you're going to start reading the Bible.
Yeah.
Because they're the story of Jesus, and that's what it's all about. So they're called the Gospels, and that means good news. So it's we're talking about the good news of Jesus coming to earth, being born, his ministry, his life, his death on the cross, and his resurrection.
Yeah.
It's the story of what he's done and who he is, really. And so it's told in a story connotation, but of course it's a true story.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a plot. It's a beginning and a middle and an end, conflict and resolution, characters, all that kind of stuff that you would find in a traditional story, but it's true.
Yeah. And so the four Gospels would be Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Yeah.
All right. And so even within like those narratives, because Ruben was talking about in the Old Testament, there's historical narratives and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
These mainly tell the story of Christ and mm-hmm. people's perspectives of Christ. And there's times Jesus obviously talks, right?
Yeah, of course. So it's his words. It's record of things that he said and things that he told us. So that's really cool.
Okay, if you read the Gospels, there's almost like genres within the genre of a narrative. So do you want to tell us a bit about that other type of genre?
Yes. So Jesus did a lot of his teaching through parables, which are like mini stories. They would have analogies or similes, but then also just stories that people of that time could relate to. They had to do with planting and harvesting and walking through the countryside and things like that. So he brought it to a really relatable place, but also there was a moral to the story. So people would ask him a question and he would use a story to make his point.
Yeah. I mean, stories are powerful.
Yeah.
We all love stories in our society. You look at Netflix, you look at the movie industry, even short stories in forms of writing and poetry. People love to engage in stories.
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting you on the spot here.
Yeah.
What do you think it is about stories that are so compelling versus just give me the facts and the stats?
Well, I think that if you ask someone a question and they just say this and this and this, it doesn't become as personal.
Mm-hmm.
When it's a story, it's personal. You can relate to it.
Yeah.
I know that for me, when I'm learning something or going through something, it's always nice to kind of figure things out for myself,
mm-hmm.
which I think when you hear a story and it's not just like, oh, this is the point, this is what I want you to learn, but I have to kind of search my heart and do a little digging to get the answer out of it.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a lot more out of that than just someone being like, well, this is what you should do.
Totally. I find if someone's sharing their story with me about a similar experience they've been through, I'm more inclined to listen. Not that I'm like, I'm not going to listen, blah, blah, blah. But I find story, it captures your imagination a lot. And so, yeah, parables can be tricky to understand. But I find if you're reading it, you're expecting to read the New Testament as just a narrative. But then you come across what Jesus is saying. It's very different. He's like telling a story within the story itself. But parables are stories, which are good.
Yeah. So it's not necessarily something that actually happened, where the things that happened with Jesus actually happened. But then he also used these sort of fictional stories, I guess, analogies, allegorical, that kind of thing, to get his point across.
No, that's a good point you made, because sometimes people think, is this a true story Jesus is telling? Well, where is this coming from? Yeah, it's usually tell a point, a moral story, get us to see ourselves in that story, but how to apply that story to our life today.
There's a book called How to Read the Bible as Literature and Get More Out of It by Leland Ryken. And in that he said, we are given to understand that it is in everyday experience that spiritual decisions are made and that God's grace does its work. So it's kind of, within the parables, it's just an everyday thing, but God is even in that.
If you want that book, we'll put a link in the description box below. So check that out. All right, once we move out of the Gospels, we head into a book called Acts. It's right after the book of John. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then Acts. This was written by a doctor named Luke. Doctors are very specific in their writings. This book is interesting because it's very specific about what happens after Jesus died and rose again. But do you want to tell us a bit more about Acts and what that genre is all about?
So it is a narrative again. It is similar to the Gospels in that way, as it's telling the account of kind of the first days of the church, how the church was established. So it is a historical narrative in the way that the Gospels are. But it also does have more of a structure to it, where it's kind of split up into six parts. There's a pause at the end of each part that prepares us for the next movement. It's like a journey. Mm-hmm. So there's something, whether it's geographical or ethnical or both, that sort of gets you ready for the next step. So there's a lot of movement to it, and we sort of get to watch as the gospel spreads from where Jesus would have been located, kind of that central area, out into the rest of that sort of area where all of that was taking place.
So
it's the accounts of what happened after Jesus ascended to heaven, establishing the church. And it's also written for the Jews and the Gentiles, which would have been the people who didn't grow up in the Jewish tradition. It's kind of saying Jesus died for all of us. It wasn't just the people that God called out of Israel. Like, it's all of us. It's everybody that Jesus died for.
Yeah, it's not some exclusive thing. It's just inclusive for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, a message like even today that still needs to be heard. Mm-hmm. You know, when reading books like Acts or the Gospels or even stuff in the Old Testament that's very narrative and storytelling driven, I find sometimes people don't know how to take those stories and apply it to their life. Mm-hmm. I know if you are thinking about some practical tips of when you're reading a narrative account, how do I apply this stuff to my life? You can ask two basic questions. One, in this story or whatever I'm reading, what is the author trying to say about God? Mm-hmm. And secondly, how does a story like this relate to my life? Mm-hmm. Often if you're looking in stories, the author is trying to communicate principles, some teaching, some idea that can be easily applied in a lot of different avenues of life. Mm-hmm. Not just specifically about that story, whether it's Jesus making a whip and throwing tables over with money and coins on them. It's like, oh, I gotta be careful with my money. Yeah, in a sense, but there's principles there that can be applied in a broad spectrum of life. So that's the cool thing I like about reading narrative accounts. All right, so once we move out of Acts, we head into books like Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, all the way to the last book of the Bible, Revelation. Revelation, not Revelations. That gets mixed up in that church world. Revelation is in a league of its own, and we'll discuss that later because that could be a whole other podcast. But if we go through the literature types from, let's say, Romans all the way to a book called Jude, which is right before Revelation, tell us a bit about those genres there.
So those books are all what we call letters or epistles is kind of a Christian word, I guess.
Yeah, a kind of, right?
A very fancy word for letters. So they're written to people who have already heard the gospel. They're already believers. They are following Jesus. They're doing their best to be like him and do what they're supposed to be doing. And so Christ's death and resurrection is key, but authors also understand the role of the Holy Spirit is vital. So that's one of the big things that happened in Acts is they received the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus said before he ascended to heaven that he was sending a helper, and and that was the Holy Spirit who came on in Acts. And so they're working with the knowledge that Christ died for them and rose again, and they're following him, but also they're doing it with the Holy Spirit.
Okay, yeah.
There's a relatively fixed form in all of the letters, so it would go with an opening or salutation, kind of a greeting, so you know who is writing it for the most part, who is receiving it. And then it goes into thanksgiving, kind of the body of the letter, and then moral exhortations, which is kind of the urging to do something. So in the body, it would be like, this is what's going on and what's happening in your church, and this is what I want you to do about it. This is how to go forward.
Yeah.
And then there would be a closing to the letter.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I know with a lot of these different letters, like 1 Corinthians, it was a church in Corinth. Like the book of Romans, it's a church in Rome. Thessalonians, Thessalonica. That's a tricky word to say.
That is. You did it really well.
I pulled it off. I was like, practice it. Don't butcher it. Yeah, tongue twister there. But yeah, you're right. A lot of these churches went through some type of struggle, whether it was a sexual issue in the church. It could have been issues of bickering and fighting and gossip. Paul would write most of these letters to these churches to be like, get your stuff in order, figure this out, be kind to one another, all this different kind of stuff. And a lot of it in those letters is a lot of practical stuff.
Yeah.
So it's very straightforward. I mean, it's different than a narrative where it's telling a story. A lot of these times in these letters, Paul could be like, stop gossiping, get along. You know, it's like, how do I apply this to my life? Well, it's pretty obvious, you know?
Stop gossiping and get along.
Yeah, totally.
And it's interesting because they were written to specific people and about specific things. So a lot of times with all of the Bible, we have to sort of keep culture into the equation. Like we do have to remember that all of it is true. Like, for sure, don't gossip and you should be nice to people. But also remember that it was a specific situation, because there are things in those letters that maybe we look at and we're like, well, that is weird. Like, that doesn't make sense to me, right? Like, but you have to remember that they're writing to a specific issue. And so it's not necessarily... it's not a formal essay on theological topics is what my notes say. You know, it's not like the theology of the church is such and such. It's there's something going on and this is how you deal with it.
Yeah, they're very practical books to read. I usually recommend, if people don't know where to start, I might recommend a letter or an epistle like you mentioned. Mainly because of a few things. They're short. They're very easy to read. They're easy to understand. And you can get the gist of it very quickly. Versus if you're starting in a book like Genesis, which might be a bit tricky to understand. Is this literal? Is this metaphorical? Like, is this like a poem? Is like, what's the structure here? Because Jewish people have a very unique way of storytelling and writing that I think is beautiful. But letters are very easy to for a place to start if you're not sure where to start.
And especially if you're a new believer, you're new to Christianity, and you're trying to figure out, okay, what do I do now? Like, what does it mean to follow Christ?
It's very interesting. All right, anything else on that before we go into the beast of Revelation?
Mostly though, just the one other thing is that you're gonna get the most out of it if you read it as a literary whole. Like, it's one letter. It's like sending an email. You're not gonna necessarily split it up like, okay, I'm gonna come back to the rest of what what this person has said. It is meant to be read all together. And so one point follows another.
That's
is kind of how it works.
Very good point.
So that's one little tip. If you can do it all in one sitting, do that.
Yeah. Nugget of truth for you, okay? Yeah. Read it in one setting.
I mean, I'm not going to check up on you if you if you're doing that, but just a little tip.
Yeah. Another podcast idea.
Yeah.
All right, let's go through the last book of the Bible, Revelation. What can people expect from this thing? This is a beast in its own.
It is, and that's kind of punny to say the beast, because there is a beast in Revelation.
Yeah, he's not nice, by the way.
He's not nice. So Revelation is sort of a letter as well.
Yeah.
It starts out with John writing a prologue. So he's saying that the account is based on a revelation that John received from an angel. The angel was sent by Jesus, and that it's prophetic. So it is a prophetic book in a way, and Pastor Ruben would have talked about prophecy in the last episode. And so he just kind of gives a warning, I guess, or a heads up that this is a revelation sent by Jesus. And then he moves into a letter to the seven churches in Asia.
Yeah.
So he kind of sends it to those seven main churches, and they're all listed there in the first little part of Revelation. And the vision or the prophecy that he received kind of lets us know what we can expect for end of days or apocalypse or whatever you want to call it, kind of the end of times when Jesus is going to return to earth and take earth for God, I guess. Like, you know, he's gonna come in and it'll be the end, and we'll see exactly what happens, but it's sort of a heads up for how to prepare for that, what we can expect, that kind of thing.
Yeah, this genre, apocalyptic genre, is interesting. Yeah, it's bizarre, like, to say the least. There's imagery. It's very symbolic. You're like, is this literal? Is this metaphorical?
Yeah.
It's honestly hard to tell, because you're right. You start reading it, and the seven churches, those letters, it's coming across like this is a genre of a letter or an epistle. But then all of a sudden, it moves into, like, the beast and the dragon with, like, 10 horns, and the one was boasting and mocking people. I'm like, what?
Yeah. Or, like, Jesus is going to be coming on a horse, and there's going to be a sword coming out of his mouth. And you're like, okay, that's creepy. But really, it is symbolic that it's not the imagery that we're seeing is not literal. We're not, like, needing to keep our eyes open for Jesus walking or coming on a horse with a sword coming out of his mouth. Right?
Yeah.
It is a symbolic thing, the imagery in that book.
Yeah.
Which is maybe a little bit comforting, because there's some creepy stuff in there that's like, ooh.
Yep, like locusts with the face of, like, man terrorizing and torturing people.
Yeah.
We're not going to get into this too much, because we might make a whole other podcast on this genre. But basic things to expect would be, like you mentioned, prophecy, a lot of symbolism, form of letters at the beginning.
Yeah.
The destruction theme is in there too.
Yeah, because, well, it's the end. It's kind of the final battle between good and evil. It's kind of the final battle for our souls and all of that. Not that, you know, our souls, if we've accepted Christ, we're good. We're with God. But it really emphasizes that God is in absolute control of history.
Yeah.
And God's sure salvation belongs to those who have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. God will restore what was lost in the beginning. So it's the final conclusion to what has happened with the fall of man back in Genesis.
I remember doing this as a Bible study a while ago, and the group wanted to do it. It made me very nervous because there are people with schools of thought that everything in there is literal. There are people with the schools of thought that this is all metaphorical. And here I am, this random young adult pastor, like, what am I going to teach? So it's interesting, because you can get hung up on those details of whether or not these, like, two witnesses are going to blow fire at their mouth and burn up people that are not listening. But the biggest thing that I like about this book is the theme of hope. And like you mentioned, it's the whole battle between good and evil, how things are going to play out in the end. But it reminds people, I would say in every generation, that evil will not conquer and that hope will prevail. And it'll be in the form of how Christ we'll take care of this in the end. We don't know exactly.
Yeah.
We have ideas and some ideas from what we read in Revelation, but hope is a huge theme in this book.
And I think the the whole point of really anything we're looking at that is theological, or if there's different opinions on certain things, is that Christ died for us and God has a plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the biggest thing, is that God's in control, and Revelation tells us that too.
Yeah.
That God's in control of history and of the future.
Yeah.
And he's got a plan to reconcile what happened ultimately.
Well, yeah, I mean,
you know, that he's going to reconcile sin.
Yeah, if you think of the context of when this book is written, I mean, they're underneath an empire, a Roman empire that was not treating them very well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these Christians would be thrown into a coliseum. Mm-hmm. They would be ripped apart by animals and lions. I can't imagine a day like that today. But if you have a book like this that's reminding them that you're going through some evil times, but this mm-hmm. is how the outcome will be,
mm-hmm.
and you may not see it, it gives people hope to know that, okay, Christ will make everything new on his time, on his will. We don't know when, but it'll happen. That mm-hmm. gives you hope to preserve your faith, because that's a big theme of this book, is to keep your faith and to yeah. maintain it and to persevere.
Yeah.
Because life's not easy.
It's not.
Yeah. It's easy to give up and be like, nope, I'm done. But Revelation, interesting book. You haven't read it? Read it. Got questions? Research it. We'll do maybe another podcast on this someday.
Just on Revelation.
Just on Revelation. All right. This is awesome. Do you have any other thoughts that you want to share before we conclude?
I don't know. I think just read your Bible.
Yeah.
You know, like, remember that things are written and as different genres, and take that into account as you're reading.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it's kind of just do it. You know,
yeah.
there's great things in there. And I know that when I'm consistently reading and spending time with God in that way, it kind of bolsters me up for life.
Yeah.
And so
yeah,
just do that.
Good.
It's good.
Yeah, no, it's good. Thanks, Becca. Your content was awesome. We do appreciate your time.
Yeah, no problem.
If you haven't seen part one, we highly recommend you check it out. It's about the Old Testament with Ruben. He's one of our pastors on staff. Anyways, thanks again for checking us out. We're excited for our next talk, and we'll see you next time here at Hope City Church.